Welcome back to another episode of the Amazon Private Label Show podcast, hosted by Michael and Ryan, the co-founders of Amazon FBA University. Today's episode, we are going to get back. We are going to talk about what not to do. So basically, mistakes to avoid in product research, in negotiations, and in picking the wrong supplier all the way through launch, marketing, and really every facet of the first couple years of your private label brand. How do we know these? We've made a few. We've seen a lot. Well, we've made a lot. We've seen a lot as well. And so hopefully just hearing these in an ever-evolving Amazon market helps you avoid making the same ones, right? So, Rye, you've been in the game for many years, 4 years plus, 5 years maybe. What are some early mistakes? Let's go all the way back to kind of the get-go. Like, what are some mistakes that you've made way back that really you wouldn't even make a year or two in, but just, you made because you don't know or you just didn't have the right information at the time?
Yeah, I think between us, we probably made every mistake in the book and learned from it. So let me take you guys all the way back to my first ever product, which was late 2019, early 2020. And really with that product, I felt like I was jumping on a trend. So this is before I really knew how to analyze or really dice down a product in terms of data and really make calculated decisions based on the granular data that I was receiving. So the first mistake I made was definitely jumping on a trend, seeing really big search volume and not really anticipating or looking at how competitive or saturated niches, by looking into the average reviews, looking into the country. Most of the sellers in the space I went into were Chinese. They were really dominating that space. And, if I looked carefully, I would have seen through the review counts that Amazon was actually taking away some reviews from these sellers, which was basically meaning that they were manipulating reviews. So already they're using like black hat tactics, which should have been a massive red flag, but I didn't know at the time, so I didn't see that. So that was a massive mistake I made going into potentially the wrong market in the beginning. And secondly, it was allowing myself to be coaxed by suppliers rather than really controlling the conversation and controlling the negotiation. A lot of the time, suppliers will hit you and say the MOQ or minimum order quantity you need to order for your initial order is something like 1,000, maybe 1,500 pieces. And this is completely false. Nowadays, when I launch a product, I go for around 500 to, let's say, 700 units. But you don't have to abide by the MOQs of a supplier. And you can, get away with typically 300 to 500 pieces in your initial order. So I was coaxed and I actually ended up getting 1,500 units of my first order, which was way too many. The product did okay. It didn't do amazingly. But I was hit by storage fees because I ordered way too many units. And I didn't sell all those units in the first month or not even the first 2 months. I think it took me like 4 months to sell through. But because I had so many units, I was paying storage fees. So that greatly impacted things. And going back to what I said previously about the market being really dominated by the Chinese, that basically led to a price war. So when I first started selling this product, it was somewhere around the $30 mark, which was great. Margins were awesome. I think I did $15,000 in revenue my first month with that product, which was great. But then what happened was a lot more Chinese flooded the market. They were getting it for way cheaper than me. They had better margins and they basically tanked the price. So I actually ended up having to sell that product for like break even slash a small loss at around $15 a piece. So literally half the price that I launched it at. And I had to then sell through that product. And I think I lost probably a couple thousand on that product all in all. And it's just a mistake you don't really need to be making, right? Once you know how to analyze a market and once you know, what signs to look for, you can quickly spot, hey, wait a minute, maybe that is a future price war waiting to happen. Same thing happened, not that I launched this product, but it's a product we always reference, the sunset lamp. When I first started seeing these sunset lamps, they were selling for like $40, $50. Now, if you look at the sunset lamp on Amazon, some of them are selling for as little as $9.99. So that's another product that got absolutely tanked by these price wars and these other competitors coming to the market and absolutely sinking things. The other thing that I really want to make clear to everyone that listens to our podcast is, you need to know your margins before you launch a product. And this is super, super crucial. You make your money when you buy the product. So understand what your margins are. Understand what the unit costs are. Understand Amazon FBA fees, referral fees, shipping costs, storage fees. Understand all of these fees, PPC costs, because at the end of the day, if you've spent all this money, your landed cost is X amount and you're spending this amount, you need to be able to make money on Amazon. You need to be able to make margin. if you're not making margin, there's no point of selling on Amazon. You're literally just, you know, passing time in an expensive way. So know your margins, know what you're doing, and really understand the numbers, because the details in the numbers, right? You have to know your numbers. Absolutely crucial. This is a real business. We're not just selling imaginary products online. There's real investment that goes into it, and there's real, you know, the top line revenues, there's bottom line, and there's profit margins and profits at the end of the day. And we want to make money. So understand what your numbers are, know what you're doing. And then, you know, there's so many mistakes you can make on Amazon, but I'll just highlight another big one for me, which is not differentiating your product. So my first ever product, going back to that product I ordered 1,500 units of, I didn't differentiate. I saw someone who was doing well in the space, and I launched exactly the same product. I didn't even change the box packaging. Everything was the same. I just had different images. But and I used stock pictures from Alibaba as well. So I literally made every mistake you can in the book. And whilst it did well, 15,000 the first month, what eventually happened was that because I was selling the exact same product as someone else and another guy, and these guys had way more reviews than me, people were looking at my product, looking at their product, similar prices, and they were buying their product and not my product because they had the reviews. So when you don't differentiate your product, the only thing people have to go off as to choose whether or not they want to buy your product is literally reviews and price point. And reviews is difficult to compete on a lot of the time because a lot of these guys are manipulating these reviews. You know, they're getting thousands of reviews. They're buying an old ASIN, converting it into the new product. And, you know, happy days, you know, they're selling with 3,000 reviews off the bat. And the other thing is price, right? And a lot of these competitors are Chinese. They are getting it from source, or they're just the manufacturer who's also doing wholesale and doing retail. So they'll be able to get much better margins than you. You're never going to be able to compete with these guys on price. So the only real way you can compete on Amazon is by differentiating your product and offering a better proposition for the customer. So go through the reviews of your competitors and really look at what customers are saying about the product, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, and create something that is going to stand out from the competition so that then people won't just judge you on reviews and price. They'll judge you on the actual overall design and functionality of your product. So those for me are the big ones. I know, Mike, you probably got a lot more. But yeah, those are the main ones for me. And those are the ones I wish, you know, I did better in the beginning, but definitely what I think about every time I launch a new product.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you live and you learn in that case. And back when we started, things were not, I mean, you definitely, it was not like the wild, wild west days of just throwing up any listing and it selling, but you could get away with a lot more. So these mistakes that now are just like binary mistakes, sometimes you could get rewarded, like even for plucking out Alibaba pictures and things like that. It was a little different time, but all kind of go on the same route. And the first, just a couple of just an overall category of early mistakes. One is just never really accepting that investing in photography is an investment. And it's so common because even people who go in their first product, who in their mind know they should be willing to invest a little on photography, once you spend money on the product and you've written the listing already too, everyone kind of does this self-negotiation of, well, a picture is a picture, iPhone's great, right? And so I fell victim to some of that on my early products where I was just like, you know what? I don't have a massive budget to launch these. I want to spend on other things, on marketing, and you just don't realize that your marketing's never going to be nearly as effective with these products without a decent video. It doesn't have to be some professional video. It just needs to be like some unboxing video on most products. And yeah, so that was the biggest one, is just trying to you know, mix and match pictures, go on Fiverr, get a couple photos, try to get an edit done, you know, pull a couple photos from Alibaba. I did that as well. And you just realize at the end of the day, one, you end up paying more by the time you realize you have to get, you're always going to get to the same conclusion. I need to fix the photos because the marketing isn't working to the degree I need it to be. And let's say the product's well reviewed, that even gives you a signal even more that you should get better photos, because you're like, I am holding a product captive that people actually want and enjoy just because I'm cheap. And so that was definitely one. I jumped onto after product number one really just killed it. I it was right in the middle of COVID, and I jumped into a couple COVID trends of like hand sanitizing dispenser products, and they actually crushed it for about 2 months, and then I just got crushed by Chinese undercutting. And so just understanding, okay, if there's a little flash in the pan like that, although lasted for a while. But anyway, you just don't want to jump on a trend like that when the direct manufacturers, in that case, when everyone needs that product, are always going to beat you. And then what other mistake? I also just made the mistake of essentially not understanding what organic ranking was. And so I would just say the scope of not fully understanding what the Amazon flywheel was, and my listings weren't really, you know, they were just kind of written. And I knew, you know, you find the primary keywords in, or you find keywords in product research, but I never really made the listing and my marketing and my overall plan cohesive and speak together. And it's really difficult to rank on Amazon. That's why you have to do everything right to be able to even be eligible. And so not really, you know, I wasn't putting the keywords in listings to the degree I should have been. I didn't have a focus on, okay, let's get to page one and let's trigger that flywheel where all of a sudden you don't have to strain for every sale the way you do in marketing or in the way you do right at the get-go and launch, because people are just showing up and buying your product. And the more they do that, the more others will as well. So I would just say the scope of not really understanding the business model to the degree I thought I did. And so just all that to know, hopefully you guys have been listening to these podcasts and you do not have to make these mistakes. And really they would hurt more now than when Ryan and I probably made the majority of them, because it's there's more opportunity, there's more demand, there's more product markets, but it's also a little more competitive.
Yeah, the Amazon landscape's definitely changed over the last few years, and you have to know what you're doing now. You know, now more than ever, you can't just throw something up, do it half-assed, and think that you're going to get results, unless you found, you know, the golden nugget, the niche that, you know, your competition just completely sucks in. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, don't exist anymore. So do things the right way, and you don't have to then backpedal and keep testing and trying to revive a dead listing. Guys, if you listen to this podcast, you'll know we have the Amazon Accelerator 2.0, which is our flagship program where we offer unlimited one-to-one mentorship for an entire year. We go through the weeds of absolutely everything from setting up your account all the way through to launching and scaling a business with three or more products. If you want to do private label the right way and save yourself thousands of dollars in mistakes and doing it wrong, exactly what we talked about in this episode, then book a call with us. We'd love to speak with as many of you as possible and find out if we can help you and get you on the right track with your Amazon business. Link is in the description. And as always, we'll see you in the next episode.